Sportsbet Elite Average Games. Download the app today and make it look easy. With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Dead Set Legends on a stunning Saturday. What are you laughing at, Jar? You're having a little giggle already.
He's got to get up. He's got to get up,
doesn't
he?
Get up. Well, he's got a big game today, so he is up. Good morning to you, Ebo.
Yes, good morning, Bluey. Good to be here.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to be here.
Jars.
When you start the show, you go, yes, that's the great KG.
What's wrong with that?
Yes! That's the great KG saying.
Good morning, everybody.
Don't plagiarise KG's material.
Mate, I wasn't here at 5:30 a.m. in the morning walking up and down the corridors trying to get
it's good to see you. So, good to
anyway,
be here.
How are you, mate?
Plenty to get
now,
through.
Now, listen.
Yes, Gregory.
I'm on the warpath this morning. I am furious. I'm furious.
Long run with the new Kookaburra?
Yes.
He wouldn't do
downwind.
That too often, would he?
Downwind.
Something to do with Australian selectors and
yes.
Cricket Australia?
Yes.
Well, this
we're
is
going
good.
To get to that,
this
but
good.
I am not happy.
Wow. I want to see you unload, Louis. I haven't seen that yet. I want to see it.
My nostrils are flaring.
I was wondering why hairy, though. Those morning. Nostrils are hairy.
No, they're not.
Perfectly manicured nostrils.
That's a trimmer.
Now, it looks like you got a little bit hungover,
no,
young Bradley.
No.
Were you on the Terps yesterday with young Tommy Jonas?
No way,
where were
mate.
You yesterday with Hey Diddle?
We did have a day at Hey Diddle yesterday. That was all professional.
Gee, you're red. Look at his eyes, Gregory.
The blood pressure.
It's yeah, up very ginger. You got three bottles of water.
No, I had to take a couple of growers out for lunch yesterday. It was a really good time. A couple of Tanunda legends.
He asked me to
Tommy
bring a packet of Tic Tacs in for him you this morning
well.
Too.
As well. I had the Listerine in the mouth, but it hasn't seemed to help.
All right, he's on the show. Let's go. Come on.
We've got a huge show. Jay Clark joins us. We got Bernie's Beef. Now, as I mentioned, I'm furious about what's happened right. with our own Travis Head, but yep. we'll touch on that.
Okay.
Now, we'll touch also a little fun segment as well, haven't we, Jars? With
yeah,
the
we
Paul
have.
Gallen and okay. who's the tough boys of sport.
I'm looking forward to Brucey Jitte as well, Adelaide United director of footy.
He's a good man,
he's
Brucey.
A good man, Brucey.
Is happening in the soccer world?
There is. There's been a big week of soccer. So
and this is a special weekend in
yes.
Australia.
It
obviously
is.
Obviously, our Anzac Day tomorrow, and we our thoughts and prayers go out to our loved ones that we've lost. Men and women, so we'll celebrate them, and yeah, looking forward to catching up with some very, very important people over the weekend. But lots to get through. We've got a couple of games of footy, and I want to talk about last night's boring game of football.
Oh,
coaches have now got the game back on their terms.
Yeah, it's
what
it's,
I saw last night.
Yeah,
defense. No, I wasn't happy with it.
Nah, and that's
I'm sorry.
It was back to last season, wasn't it? Last
well,
night.
Well, it's getting back. Like I said, the coaches are now getting control of their baby.
Five or six rounds.
Didn't
you did
take
say
long.
That, Jars.
Didn't take long.
No, we got a big, big show. Let's get
let's
get going.
0488 51047. If you want to give
let's
us a
going.
Text,
come on, let's get going.
All thanks to Autobastards, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bluey, Jars, and Brad Ebert for 2021. Tomorrow morning, boys, very important day. Mick Molloy's Soldier On special is tomorrow morning at 4:55 a.m. and then the 5:30 dawn service live from Canberra. Both of those happening tomorrow morning right here on Triple M.
Good on you, Hato. Backlash to the Sandful for scheduling junior football on Anzac Day tomorrow. I've had a few phone calls throughout the week, and the Hills League Association have done the right thing and have told their junior program, or their scheduling of their junior games tomorrow, that they'll start after midday tomorrow. But there's been a lot of criticism. A lot of the veterans aren't happy with how these have been scheduled on tomorrow morning, because the juniors start at 8 o'clock, 8:30,
yep.
right up throughout the day.
Mm.
But there's been a massive backlash. And so a few other associations are still going to go ahead with junior football on Anzac Day morning. Your thoughts, chaps?
Geez, scheduling is very, very tricky. So I've got a bit of sympathy for the organisations doing that. But we've obviously got to do whatever we can to not upset our old diggers, whether they're, you know, men or women who did a great job in making us live the lives that we do, or help that, you know, we live a great life. It's been a tough year with COVID, but we are very
but families
privileged.
Families
should
be put in this
of,
position, though. Families should not be, because if they want to go out and remember their grandfather,
right.
great-great-grandfather who fought for their country, they should not be put in this position by scheduling junior football.
I think it does come down to that education piece, I think. Is that what
you
were going to touch
but
on?
But can the families then use it as a positive, Jars? Like, so if there is junior footy on, just like there's going to be AFL on, can they make a thing of it and then use it as an education piece for these youngsters?
I think that's a massive part, isn't it? Because I guess, like, to be able to then educate the young ones on what happened, on what it actually means, for them to be able to be a part of it in some way and actually, you know, play footy as a kid on Anzac Day, I reckon that'd be pretty special for them. But if they can actually understand the reason why and what, you know, what the background is behind it, I think is a key to it as well, mate.
But they've had ample opportunity to schedule these games at midday, after midday.
Yeah, and they can.
Haven't they? They've had it. Yeah. But I don't like it. I don't want to see junior football played tomorrow morning because we're there to respect and
totally. Yeah.
And all the families want to respect what our men and women did for our great country. So some associations should be pulling the juniors
Can they get up earlier, go to the dawn services?
Well, they probably will. They probably will. But I and like I said, all I know of one association. And a lot of the associations do play on the Saturday today, which is no problems. But I know the Hills have made a decision, so
all their games, all their under nines and stuff will start at lunchtime,
midday tomorrow.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a smart move around the state.
Because you get a lot of female football on tomorrow, a lot of girls football on tomorrow as well, because that Sunday is basically their day to play football. Because there's, but yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But you want your kids to be educated, absolutely, we do. I just thought, 133353, Haydo, let's get it out there.
How do you feel about junior games being played before midday on Anzac Day? You can also give us a text on 0488851047. Really quick, Blue, you were talking about how you've done scheduling before. How hard is it for a club to reschedule once something has been scheduled, especially an entire area?
Yeah, because it's a domino effect on the rest of the season, isn't it? So either you've got to then extend your season or extend by a week.
They can schedule the games from midday onwards. It wouldn't be hard, would it?
And just keep it open, like the games play. Yeah. But then they play into the night, wouldn't they? That'd be the hard part. This is the hard part where they go from 9s to 11s to 13s. Like, it depends. Yeah. I guess it depends on all those sort of, you know, situations, really.
133353, let us know. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bluey Jars and Brad Ebert in 2021. 0488 51047. You can text us anytime for Automasters or give us a call on 133353. We want to know what you think about junior sports putting on matches before midday on Anzac Day. Jars, you're not happy about this at all.
No, not at all. No, not for me, it's not. But that's just my opinion. I know the boys, you're the same, are you or not?
I think we're all in the same boat here. You're sort of saying the scheduling side of things is a bit hard, but...
Yeah. Well, if they didn't have to, then yeah, ideally, no.
But a lot of the associations continued on, even though the Sandful gave them the options to change their scheduling.
I think they gave them the option, the teams that, or the clubs that didn't agree with it, then had the option whether to have the games or not. But I reckon they can use it as an educational piece as well. The kids in the morning, get them to line up.
That's a good point.
Silent.
That's a great point.
Let's go to Anthony of Mount Barker. Good morning, Anthony.
How you going?
Good, mate. What's your take on it?
Yeah, well, my son plays for Harndorff, and they drew a line in the sand with the scheduling, said they wouldn't send their juniors to play. So everyone came to an amicable agreement that the 14s will play from midday, and the 18s and 16s will play today.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Well done. Harndorff Footy Club. Very, very good football club out that way. Thanks, Anthony. Have a good one. Mark from Woodside. Yes, Mark.
Yes, Mark. Hi, how are you?
What's your take, please?
Hello.
Yes, yeah, mate. G'day, buddy.
Yeah, you're all right. Yep, you've obviously just said my point of view on it. I just think it's a good educational thing for these kids. I mean, they sit there and they watch Collingwood and Essendon tomorrow line up for Anzac to pay their respects. I mean, do the same thing with these kids. And say, look, the reason you're here being able to do these sorts of things is because of what they gave for our country. I mean, I just think it's going to be more of an educational thing than putting a downside to it. That's just my point.
Yep. Beautiful, mate. Thanks, nice. Mark. Thanks for that. There you go.
Yep.
Excellent.
Turn a positive into it.
Yeah, good point. You can keep that conversation going on our text line right now.
Adelaide's number one weekend sports show, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
They come from everywhere!
On 104.7 Triple M.
I don't like cricket.
Jars, you're acting like a bit of a prick, mate. Well,
now
you probably were.
You're fuming regarding the new contracts that have come out from Cricket Australia.
Yep, so they've reduced it from 20 to 17.
Because of COVID.
So there were some unlucky players that missed out.
Yep.
Well, not necessarily because of COVID, no.
Well, that's what they're saying, because of the COVID.
No, they want to basically they want the Australian players to really earn their contracts. They've reduced the size. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that either. Mm. From 20 to 17,
like
that's
yeah,
fine. They're very lucrative contracts. But I am pissed off.
Oh, hate it.
I'm very, very unhappy. Travis Head.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Averages, for some reason, they don't like Travis Head. Whether it's Justin Langer, the selectors, averages nearly 40 in Test match cricket. He's had one of the best seasons ever.
Mm.
He would have, if it was a normal 10 game season, he would have got 1,000 runs. No one's done that in a long time. Played 7 games, made nearly 900 runs.
Mm. What more can he do, Greg?
He was asked to make big hundreds. He did that.
Mm.
And we get to this 17-man squad or the Cricket Australia contract, and they don't give him one. I'm looking at guys like Jai Richardson, very good player, earning $1.5 million over in the IPL. Good luck to him.
He gets
a contract.
Yeah.
So why does he deserve a contract? There's 7 fast bowlers on the contract
list.
Fast bowlers. James Pattinson.
Jimmy.
Very, very good bowler.
Hardly seen him in 5 years.
He's played, let's have a look at his stats this year.
Oh, he's got the stat sheet out, Bradley.
He's played 5 Shield games and took 13 wickets.
Oh, I know.
So why does James Pattinson deserve a contract ahead of Travis Head?
Mate, no, this
he doesn't.
It's 100%.
He doesn't.
So why are they giving Travis Head?
If Travis Head was wearing a New South Wales cap or a Victorian cap or a Western Australian cap, he would have got a contract.
12 months ago, he was vice captain of the Test team.
What's happened?
They take it away, bang, kick in the guts. Then they drop him, another kick in the guts. Now they've dropped him from the contract list, another kick in the guts. How many? What are they trying to do?
And what is he, 27 years old? He's only coming into his prime.
He's going to be in the prime time.
Oh, this is what I don't understand.
So, well, the other thing, Ebo, before you guys can have your own say. So this has got nothing to do with selection, right? So Travis Head, if he's good enough, which he is, he'll get back into the test team. But what it's saying is, mate, you're not really a part of our little bubble here. So it's just a little... It's another kick in the guts for Travis Head.
You were explaining there's that development side of things as it filters down to the state level as well, isn't there? So in terms of him now having to get funded by the state rather than the country, then that goes into the salary cap of the state cricket board.
Yes.
So therefore then they're going to have to struggle to then recruit
players. So there's another element to this as well, because as we know, the Redbacks have struggled, haven't they, in the last three or four seasons.
We're bottom
of the pack again. So what happens now, Travis Head goes back into the contract list for South Australia. So he'll be on top dollar.
Mm.
Which means that South Australia will make it harder for them to recruit other players to come and play for South Australia, because they're using up that slash. If Cricket Australia had a bit of foresight.
It's just a double whack,
they
isn't
would,
it?
Yeah, it's a double whack.
Greg, what's the average wage that these boys will get now from Cricket Australia? What
the
is
minimum,
it?
The
is
minimum,
it $800,000 a year?
Oh, no, there's minimums and maximum contracts with cricketers. So I think the minimum might be around about $300,000.
Okay, and max?
Maximum... over $1 million, $1.5 million.
Steve Smith, would he be on the top? He'd be on $1 million.
Stephen Smith.
Cummings.
Pat Cummins would be the top player,
I reckon.
But it's got nothing to do with money.
It's got nothing to do with money.
Travis Head's a wealthy boy.
He can't do any more than he's done,
but
Trav.
But it's just a...
Stay strong, mate.
Yeah.
If he went to New South Wales, say, and played Shield
cricket. No, I don't buy that argument. We're in South Australia.
Because
I always had that. People said that to me as well. You know what? We're in South Australia. Who cares? Let's just get
they
on with it.
They don't give a stuff about saying, South Australian cricket. But they don't, mate. Bottom
anyway,
line, but
I'm
congratulations to Alex Carey.
Yes, Kez and Kane Richardson.
Kane Richardson's the other one.
And
the
Richo man.
Kane Richardson. Who probably is a little bit lucky as well.
Well, that's what I thought.
But it's white ball cricket as well. And he's entrenched.
It's all three formats that they get these contracts.
Yes.
Seven fast bowlers. Out of the 17. Goodness me.
Jai Richardson and James Pattinson.
Richardson.
I don't know why they deserve to get a contract.
Stay strong,
Trav.
Yes. Stay strong.
Yeah, 133.53. Malcolm in Highbury, what do you think?
I just think it's unbelievable. Bluey, you've alluded to it with the number of quickies picked in that Adam Zampa as well. The lack of batsmen picked. Travis gets dropped, goes back, dominates Shield cricket as much as anyone's dominated, as you said, in a long time. On schedule to make 1,000 runs and misses out. It is bizarre.
Yep.
New South Wales, etc. You handed your baggy blue, same time as your baggy green. South Australia.
There you go, Malcolm.
I love
it. Great.
Love your passion,
that's true. Run 3353. New one for the Foo Fighters, Waiting on a War, Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bluey, Jazz, and also for 2021, Bradley Ebert.
Yes. Now, it gives me great pleasure to bring in this next guest. He was a former Adelaide United star, mercurial mover on the field.
Nice.
He is now the Adelaide United director of footy and a very good mover off the field. Ooh. At Brett's wedding the other week, he was cutting shapes on the dance floor like you would not believe. But here he is, Brucey Jitte. How are you, mate?
Thanks for the intro, mate. Very generous.
Oh, I just can't get those moves out of my head, mate. But let's get on to big week this week in soccer, the Super League. These guys have been talking about it all week, but from your perspective, we actually want an expert opinion on this, mate. What's the go? What happened? How does it play out from here? Is there any effect to the Australian soccer system?
Well, to start with your latter question, no effect to the Australian soccer system. Look, it was an idea born by the richest clubs in the world, and what it appeared to be like was a bit of a cash grab. You know, they're rich already. Obviously, COVID did damage their revenues somewhat, and this was a way for them to become uber wealthy, if you like. But it really took away the essence of what football is.
So for those of you that don't know, what actually happened, Bruce? What did they propose?
So they proposed basically have a closed competition of 12 teams, the 12 biggest clubs in the world, and the ability to invite up to, I think it was, 5 teams into that competition every season, depending on how they went in their leagues. But, you know, in Europe, it's all about promotion, relegation. It's all about merit and winning the championship to qualify for the Champions League, which is the premier competition. And if you finish generally in the bottom 2 or 3 of your domestic competition, you go down to the lower division. So, and that works all the way through, Premier League to Championship to Division 1 to Division 2, all the way down. So while the richest clubs would have gotten richer, certainly, the other clubs would have just gotten poorer and poorer and would have been playing for less and less. Champions League would have become less relevant because the best teams wouldn't have been in it, and the flow-on effects would have been huge.
Yep.
So
yep.
You really saw the power of fans and players, if you like, as soon as that announcement was made. And very quickly, in a matter of days, clubs started pulling out of that idea. Yep. So
thank goodness for that. It didn't happen. People power won in the end, which was great. Now, Bruce, we're going nicely. Adelaide United taking on Wellington tomorrow, 3:40. You must be very, very happy with how the season's going so far.
Yeah, so far so good. I'm always the skeptic, you know. I always want to wait till it's all done and dusted before I get too excited. But if you look at the players' form, and I'm just here at training, if you hear boys yelling in the background, the training the day before the game, they're very up and about, much more up and about than they generally are. So the vibe and the atmosphere is obviously very good. And when you get on a run in the A-League, you know, you do have the possibility of riding that wave for a significant amount of time. So hopefully the good form continues and you know, we can do something very special this year.
Yeah, mate. Now, I see you've done some great recruiting from your sort of point of view. You've brought in Yuande, Tommy Urich, Goodwin. You've even brought in Cassio's son. Now, what can he bring to the team?
Look, he's a young prospect, one of the best players in Australia at his age. I think that's pretty well known around the country. So to get him was fantastic coup for the club. Mm-hmm. Whether he features at all this season, I'm not 100% sure. That's certainly up to the coaches to decide. But in the coming years, I've got no doubt that, you know, Bernardo Oliveira is going to be a name on people's lips, definitely.
Fantastic, mate. Well, now, thank you very much. You said you're at training. Get back to the boys and get amongst it. And thank you very much for your time this morning, Bruce.
I'll tell you what, some hardline questioning from Andrew Jarman in that.
Come on, Josh.
I mean, we know it's not so hard for
you. You wanted me to
Bruce,
bring him in.
Bruce, before you go, give my love to Carl Veard. I haven't seen him on the beach for a while.
Tell him to turn the calls.
Good gag. It is Dead Set Legends.
He's a good friend of ours. He's waiting on the line from us from New Zealand now. Buddy, you're one of the first boys to get on a flight over to the bubble. What's it like?
Jars, Bluey, Evo, good morning to you. Very, very fortunate. So I married a Kiwi girl back in 2006. She was a high school friend of the four-time Bathurst winner, Greg Murphy, so you can blame him for playing Cupid there. We've had a bit of time in NZ since 2017, but I was back in Aussie with some good work opportunities. and I hadn't seen the kids or Sarah in 3 months, so it was a nice surprise when I walked into the restaurant on Monday. Pretty cool.
Ah, good stuff, mate. Hey, the enforcer, Russell Ingall, he's back. He's got a Bathurst wild card. Doesn't seem to be too worried about some negative feedback.
He's in his 50s, so he will have a, you know, a few naysayers and things like this, but I honestly believe this is a good story, guys, and you've got to look at it in context. Firstly, he grows another leg at that joint. He's an unbelievable endurance racer. He's won Bathurst twice with the great Larry Perkins. They're going to pair him with a bright young talent in Brock Feeney, and they're going to drive a wild card or a third entry for the winning team from Bathurst last year, for the Triple Eight organisation. So this is a great way for Brock to be in a good car, draw on Russell's experience at a very daunting place. It's a good combo.
Russell Ingall, like being over 50, is anyone worried he's got to keep his left indicator on for about 5Ks? Or
let me tell you, boys, he will not be worried about the naysayers. He'll say, bring it on. And he's a gritty racer when it comes to that joint, you see.
Now, Rusty, Shane Van Gisbergen's unbroken run came to an end in Tassie, but the Commodores have won every race so far. Are the Mustang drivers unhappy about this?
A little bit miffed, and Cam Waters kind of led the charge on it, raising the whole, you know, potential issue of parity between the pair of them. Shane Van Gisbergen has weighed in gently, though, and said, look, the last couple of events or circuits have probably suited the Commodore better. He believes the coming rounds will suit the Mustang more. So just give it some time, and then let's look back on it with a sense of balance. He doesn't believe that there's a parity issue right now.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's turn our attention to F1. Dan Ricciardo finished sixth in Italy, but there was a huge accident between two other drivers that was the real talk of the race. What do you make of it?
Basically, we get, as purists and lovers of the sport, we get really nervous and worried when you see an accident like that.
Certainly.
At the Imola circuit. That's the place where Ayrton Senna passed away back in 1994.
Right.
So this was a huge, huge crash, 330 k's an hour. George Russell has put his hand up and apologised for his part in it, and he's earned the praise of Lewis Hamilton for taking responsibility for it. So the undercurrent in this story, boys, is that both of those drivers, Valtteri Bottas and George Russell, are fighting, so they say, for that seat in the factory Mercedes team in 2022.
Wayne Gardner's son's going beautifully, leads the Moto2 World Championship. Now, is it Remy Gardner? Will we see him in Moto?
Remy Gardner, you got it.
Yep. Will we see him next year in MotoGP?
He actually came on, Wayne Gardner, his father, came on the podcast recently, and he sort of alluded to the fact that Remy has a contract, providing he keeps going like he is, to make that step up next year. So he's had 2 seconds and a third so far. He was a winner last year in this class. He's really grown as a racer, guys. So, you know, he's playing it smart at the moment. If he keeps riding like this, there's a very, very good chance we will see him in MotoGP next year.
Rusty, before I let you go, our Liberal government's going to sell off for Adelaide 500 bridges, infrastructure, mate, everything we've got, grandstands, overpasses, all the assets are going to be sold off. Do you think we're going to get the race back if the Labor Party get in?
I think the decision by this government, I'm with Nick Percat on this one, it is absolute bloody madness. It's a great event that brought so much to the state. I was there for the very first one and fortunate to be there for what currently looks like the last one, but I hope that it is not. Probably the saving grace is that some of this infrastructure will stay in South Australia, albeit the talk of it going to the Bend. But if the Labor Party get in, man, I hope they bring that race back. It was a huge thing on our sporting, not just motorsport, calendar.
Well said, mate. Have a good weekend, and we'll speak next week.
Look forward to it. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bluey, Jars and Brad Ebert. You just missed Rusty's motorsport update, but he will be back next week for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
At home with the legend. Legends.
Now, before we do this, because Brad Ebert hijacked the overnight scoreboard for a good 5-7 minutes thereabouts.
Just like you're hijacking this segment right now.
Yeah.
I got no comeback to that.
Just quickly, what's happened in the household?
Household. Well, obviously, we've been shocked by the whole WA lockdown, the snap lockdown. So my in-laws are obviously over there. They're locked down for the next couple of days. They were due to come to Adelaide next week. So it's actually worked out quite well for them. So anyway, they can stay locked down for an extra week if they want.
Oh, no.
No, I love you all, Mark and Liz.
There you go.
Jeez. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bluey, Jars, and Brad Ebert. 133353. We want to know which AFL player or sportsman,
or past or present,
past or present, would make a good boxer. And I can tell you unequivocally, after Danny Green came into the studio, that Jars, you are not one of them.
Oh, come on, brother!
And the big man is down.
Oh, now, shit.
Yeah, well, he came in because he was taking on Anthony Mundine. Yeah. I put on a ski vest. And Danny just gave me a little jab in the guts.
It wasn't even a big wind-up.
Broke three ribs.
You went down quicker than a sack of spuds.
Well, it got me thinking on the back of Paul Gallen's fight during the week. Mm. He's an ex-NRL superstar. Mm. Belted the living daylights out of Lucas Brown, who's a professional boxer. And this is what happened, if you didn't hear the finish.
Round stoppage victory,
wow,
against the former heavyweight champion of the world.
So there you go. So he's come from another code to, yep, be now taken seriously around the world, Paul Gallen.
Mm. Around the world, you reckon?
Well, he, yeah, will, mate. He's not, mate. They just said he's becoming a world-class boxer.
Nah, they're pumping it up.
They've got to pump it up.
So it got, man, me but... thinking.
What did you say then? They've got to pump it up, don't they?
Got just me
like
thinking,
you've got to pump it up.
Which past or present player would make a good boxer from your respective footy club? Or other sports.
Codes, yep.
I'll give you a couple of names before we go into the phones and you boys. Mm-hmm. Adelaide Crows. I'd say Roo, our very own Rupert,
oh, yeah,
would be able to handle himself.
Yep. Yep.
Norwood, yeah, the great G McIntosh.
Mm.
He'd be a good boxer.
He'd be able to, hold his own.
North Melbourne,
not
I reckon,
reach.
The Duck Carey.
Yes, yeah.
Big
I've got
Duck.
Him written down.
All right, sorry about that.
Yep.
Glenel, back in the day, Scotty Salisbury.
Whoa.
The scooter. Nah, I'm,
ooh,
telling you, he was. He
tough.
Was. Whoa.
Was he?
He was very.
Did he give you any clips?
No, well, I was probably a little bit too sharp around the
ball.
What about Port Adelaide?
Well, mate, so I've sort of gone with a modern day player, Captain Tom Jonas. He's a bit of rough around the edges, and he could throw one.
He'd be a good boxer.
I feel like he could take him, and as long as you can take him, I reckon he can give him as well. You
oh,
know,
yeah,
like he'd stay standing. Tommy
anyone
Logan.
Else?
Tommy Logan would be one.
The T-shirt Tommy.
Dog. Yeah, big, yeah, T-shirts. I reckon he could hold his own in the ring. Do you know one that did actually box a little bit? And I think he tried it after footy. Michael Voss. I think he actually did a couple,
ooh,
charity,
yes,
boxes. And,
yeah,
mate,
yeah,
he was always
be, yeah,
bouncing around,
right,
the rooms,
yep,
and thinking he was a bit of a boxer. But, yeah.
What about you, Gregory?
I'm trying to think of some old school cricketers. You mentioned Dennis Lilly, but I don't think so. Dennis.
No,
Dennis
Tomo, Lilly, no. Jeff Thompson.
Tomo,
well, I did
Rangy.
Say he was on the Bluntstone boot ad, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What about Alan Border?
No, Captain
no?
Grumpy.
Merv?
Nah, nah.
Steve
well, I
Waugh.
Thought Merv's like a big teddy bear. He's,
yeah,
you know, he looks
he'd
tough,
laugh,
but he'd,
yeah,
be, you know,
yeah,
I reckon I could take
David
Merv
Boone.
On.
Just,
yeah,
bring
a little hand grenade, I reckon. He'd just get inside and bang.
No, not a baby hand grenade.
Gregory,
you're talking
there. Viv Richards.
Viv.
Ooh, Viv Richards.
He just, I don't reckon he'd be able to.
Nah, he'd be a great boxer.
Just dance and move.
Yeah.
And I've got Mitch Johnson written down because I spent a bit of time with Mitch Johnson.
Yeah.
He had that sort of mist in his eye. Like he was pretty, you know, pretty
like
friendly
this
sort of guy. But if you just tipped him over the edge,
ooh, yeah, okay,
I reckon he'd rip one through you.
So with the two athletes not mentioned left on the table, 133353, Tony in Two Wells, which sportsman, past or present, would you like to see as a boxer, would make a good boxer?
G'day, guys. I reckon
Ackermanis
would be perfect.
Jason Ackermanis.
Did he do it as well? I felt like he tried it.
No,
try
I don't think so.
Did he?
Yeah. I thought he did.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd dance around a lot there, Tone, wouldn't he?
He'd be a showman. He'd be,
yeah,
like our friend Andrew German here.
He'd be perfect. He was a serious sportsman, and he actually believed in himself, and that's what you need to make it.
Spot on. Yeah, good man. Good man. Thanks, Tone. Let's go to Alf of Athelstan. Alfie.
Yeah, g'day, boys. It's funny you say that. I thought Kerry, but I'll pick it. Byron Pickett, mate, he was a hard tough nut, and he's the duck and weave and just bash into the players like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
He's still the ball, and he's in his 40s now. I reckon he's still going to the ring and do a few rounds.
Yeah,
he would knock you to the floor. He wouldn't care what's coming his way.
One of my former teammates at North Adelaide back in the 80s, Dave Robertson, Robbo.
Yep, that's another
mate,
one.
Mate, he was scary.
He
could fight.
How big you were, who you were,
nah,
he just doubled in there.
Yeah, and a great footballer too. Good on you, Alf. Take care, mate. Kevy from Victor Harbour. G'day, Kev.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, who do you
Kev
think?
Oh, you can't go past David Granger from Port Adelaide, mate.
Yeah, that's...
Now, he
Jars
was...
just shivered in his boots there.
Do you reckon he'd go all right? Would he go all right, though?
Oh,
yeah.
Skill-wise, he mean, he'd love throwing
them. Talented. He was a wonderful footballer, wasn't he, when he focused?
Well,
when
he
focused.
He was focused.
No, but when he focused on football, he was as good as any.
Robbie Muir?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Rob.
He didn't mind.
And he could play football too. Yeah, Robbie Muir. So some great names there. George. G'day, George from Fulham Gardens.
G'day, Jars. How are you, mate? Listen, there's one you've forgotten about. It'd knock into the middle of next week with a decent hit, and that'd be Ian Botham.
Oh, Ian Botham.
He's a cricketer.
Well, it's blue.
Yeah, both. I reckon he's got in a couple of little tangles.
Has Botham and Ian Chappell made up yet? Ooh, or that'll
no,
never.
No, they haven't. They no, never will. They're both so stubborn.
Yeah.
That they won't. No, they'll never make
but
up.
But both of them could throw him, couldn't he?
Well, you'd think so. He's a pretty solid boy.
Gee, heyday.
What do you reckon, 0488 51 0047, which past or present sports person would make a really good boxer on the back of Paul Gallen getting up in the first round?
Gloria from here. G'day, Gloria.
G'day. How are you guys today?
Good morning.
Good.
Who do you think?
Tony Modra from the Adelaide Crows.
Godra. Godra.
Nah,
you reckon? What can't that man do?
Nah, look at Gloria.
Gloria, thank you so much. We're going to give you a double pass to see Adelaide United versus Western, which is happening on the 30th at Cooper Stadium, kickoff at 6:30. Congratulations. Now, Jars, if you can backpedal, explain why Tony Modra would not make a good boxer.
Because he's a lover. He's a lover of people. He's a beautiful, gentle soul.
Put
you know,
ring,
I spent
though,
6 years rooming with him.
Rooming?
Rooming.
Did you?
I said rooming with. I was rooming with Mods on the away
trip.
Is that
another name that you've just dropped there?
Dead Set Legends.
Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars present AFL Newsbreaker. Jay Clark.
He's a very dear friend of ours. His nostrils have been absolutely busy this week. Now, Jay, good morning to you.
Yes, hello, boys. Look, the old COVID, I thought we had it beaten, but sadly, she's up off the canvas in the last 48 hours.
So what's the update, mate? What's happened in WA?
Yeah, there's a fresh development this morning in Melbourne. But going back a step, obviously, Perth announced a three-day lockdown last night. It'll mean the Fremantle-North Melbourne game will be played in front of no fans, which is a huge financial blow.
Absolutely.
To the Fremantle Football Club, and they're absolutely spewing about this. Now, the fallout for North Melbourne is that they are desperately hoping that they can still fly out of Perth on Sunday. So they'll essentially just go from hotel to ground, ground to hotel and then airport, get out of there, get back to Melbourne, because they've got a lucrative game in Tasmania next week. Now, they don't want to be booted out of Tasmania from the Tasmanian government, because that's worth a lot to them, and it's a really big decision. So everyone at North Melbourne have their fingers, toes and crossed. At West Coast, they tested last night and are awaiting the results this morning so as that they can play Geelong down at the Cattery. We expect that'll be all clear. But for West Coast fans, they may not be, or anyone who has been in Perth in any of the declared red zones, may not be able to attend the West Coast Geelong game. We're waiting on confirmation for that. But it's unlikely, if you travelled from Perth to see the big game, see Tim Kelly play his old side, that you'd be down, you'd be able to go to your seat, watch the game without a negative test this morning. And that turnaround is obviously pretty quick. But the new part in all this, and this is developing as we speak, is that Collingwood players have been ordered to go get tested. They played in Perth last weekend and lost to the Eagles. Remember, now, because they have been in Perth in the past 14 days, they have all had to get tested this morning. It means that the whole Collingwood club is isolating until they get that negative result. They play the blockbuster against Essendon, the MCG, tomorrow. They had a final training session today, and as it stands, that won't be going ahead. That they won't be having their final training session. So instead, all those meetings will be Zoom, unless they can get their results quickly by 1 or 2 o'clock. That'll be a whole virtual event for the Collingwood Football Club. So not an ideal preparation for that Anzac Day blockbuster, but at the moment, multiple strands. It's like an octopus, and it's jiggling all over the place.
Jeez, mate, there's plenty going on there.
That was a mouthful.
There was, well wasn't there? Mate, so all right, let's turn to the actual footy last night.
Yep.
There was a bit of carnage out of the Bullies' win. What can we report there?
Yeah, Ebo, look, it was an impressive last quarter from the Bulldogs, wasn't it? But there was carnage. That's the right word, because Tim English, and this is in the concussion debate, this is the one that scares me. When you've got Aaron Norton flying in from behind or flying in from the side, and you've got their knees up, the players in that pack are completely unprotected, as you blokes know so bloody well, don't you? It just takes enormous bravery to play this game. And when you've got Norton flying in from the side with his knee up, and we saw the impact, it was flush on Tim English's jaw. His face snapped to the side, and he was out like a light straight away. So that's an automatic 12-day concussion protocol. He's got to get scans and x-rays on his jaw as well. There could be structural damage there, which will require a longer layoff. The heartbreaker was Lin Zhong and that hamstring. Oh, he just can't take the trick. Shocking injury luck for them. You could see he was emotional and tearful on the bench. It was just a shocking blow. But Josh Dunkley, now this is the big one, because he has been on absolutely fire this season, Josh Dunkley, after the trade request to Essendon fell through. Now, his shoulder dislocated twice. Now, you boys will have a better take on this than me. Shoulder dislocated, went to the bench, got popped in. Went back out in the field, popped out again, went back to the bench. Now, Luke Beveridge said they're expecting to miss him for a while. That could mean a shoulder procedure to tighten that shoulder joint up. Or,
you would imagine,
with a Carlton, does he just try and manage it? What do you think, boys? Does he go under the knife?
I'd say he'd be going under the knife. This stage of the season, you can always bring him back by finals. I think he'd have to go under the knife, wouldn't he? But that then is like a three-month injury, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. Shoulders are real issues. Talking of issues, Jay-Z, we're all the mouth-watering game today. Melbourne taking on Richmond. Now, Melbourne have had a few selection issues.
They have, and we're all expecting Simon Goodwin to bring back Sam Wiedemann. Like, fair dinkum. He kicked 7 snags in the VFL last weekend and couldn't get in the team. So Simon Goodwin has kept Sam Wiedemann and Ben Brown in the VFL for another week. He's brought back Steve May. He'll have a huge game tonight against Tommy Lynch and also Bailey Fritch, who's that mid-sized forward. He's very crafty and very clever around goals. But Sam Wiedemann and Ben Brown, after kicking 10 goals between them, stuck in the VFL. Max Gawn told me there has never been this selection pressure at the Melbourne Football Club in his time at the club. He said, normally we just gift games to young blokes who don't deserve it, or we'd bring blokes up who aren't playing good footy or are out of form. He said, now you've got to be absolutely banging the door down to get a game for Melbourne as they look to continue their unbeaten season. Got to be an absolute cracker, boys.
Good on you, mate. Good stuff. Have a good weekend. We'll speak again next week on the Rush Hour.
Take it easy, boys.
With such an important day and weekend around Adelaide and the country as well, we've got a few things happening here on Triple M. Mick Molloy's Soldier On special is 4:55 a.m. tomorrow morning on Anzac Day, and then the 5:30 dawn service is going to be live from Canberra right here on Triple M.
Nice one, Haydos. Now, the Port Adelaide Football Club are encouraging those attending its Anzac Day game tomorrow against St Kilda to arrive early to catch a special screening of locally produced documentary The Rover of Tobruk. Mm. Now, that's going to be on the big screens at Adelaide Oval at 4:45 tomorrow. And, of course, it's a documentary about Bob Quinn, who was a World War II military medalist and a Port Adelaide legend. And I've been lucky enough to meet Bob Quinn, an amazing man. Yeah. And, Jars, you've seen the doco.
Well, I'm very tight with Greg, the son of Bob, and a very proud and beautiful family. We were invited to a special screening about a month ago from the invite of Greg, and it was amazing to understand what his father was about. And he's a war hero, a great Magpies player. It goes for about 23 minutes, but it was inspiring, showed his courage, his selflessness, his loyalty, resilience. Mate, he is a war hero and a great man, the Bob Quinn. When what a talk, great man.
When you talk legends of football clubs, of eras or whatever, he is a legend.
He has to be an immortal. The Porto.
And that's what I think they're realising, the impact that he had and the ability for him to, I think they'll go into the movie and all that sort of stuff, but for him to do what he did as a player, then go and serve his country, get bullet wounds in his leg, come back and then still perform, win McGarry's after that and that. It's one of those stories of, like you said, resilience, hard work, all that sort of stuff. But it typifies, I guess, the Port Adelaide ethos, I guess, and everything that it underpins around that Anzac Day weekend as well.
So he won his McGarry medals either side of his military service.
Gang the war, yeah.
So he went away for a couple of years.
Give us a little bit of insight, Jars, into, you know, what he went through at war.
Well, he led a platoon of soldiers into, they had to blow up this German type minefield or whatever it was to get through to the Germans, and he was losing his teammates. He was losing soldier after soldier because they had to try and blow it up and they get the pipes and all that, whatever.
And
they
did use. He know that? Was he basically saying goodbye to his mates?
He basically knew
mates.
That he was losing his men around him. So they were getting closer and closer to this bunker or this German bunker. This is part of the doco. You'll see it in the doco. And Stevie Summerton plays Bob Quinn in the doco. And Bob, when they were telling the story, he had to go next. And he probably knew he wasn't coming back because he thought, well, I've got to go. And he went and he took a hit, but he got through. So they got through to the Germans and then, basically changed some of the war.
Incredible.
Because of his courage.
Yeah, when you talk courage.
And when you lose soldiers and mates, it must be horrendous. Mm. But that's why he was awarded the medal, because of his courage. And,
and why he's
it's a great doco. It goes for 23 minutes. Timmy Ginnivan's on there. Aaron Phillips spoke. Fantastic. And Port Magpies faithful would be proud of this magnificent doco.
Yeah,
and you'll see it.
Urge people to get there early and watch it. It's incredible, Greg. It's an amazing story.
Yeah, great man.
Yep.
So that will play at 4:45 tomorrow at the Adelaide Oval. That'll be on the big screen. So we're encouraging everyone to get there early and to watch that. It's a magnificent story and just an example of some what people have gone through.
Absolutely.
For us to live our lives, our privileged lives now.
Hear, hear. Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Sportsbet Elite Average Games. Download the app today and make it look easy. With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.